are In the Groove at 5 o'clock. I'm Peggy Ann Saltz, content strategist at Mobile Groove. And we are here to talk about CTV, the three letters, right, that you need to memorize, because there's a lot going on in the space. There's also a lot of excitement, but some hype as well. We're going to talk about both, because I have got the best panel, I think, to talk about CTV, in my opinion. I absolutely do, because I'm joined by Arthur Carew. He is CEO and co-founder of Vibe, and Heisbert Poles, shall I say it, the man in CTV. Yeah, I have to. My go-to, he'll say it too. Isn't it true?
Absolutely.
See, there you go. 2-1.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, you have built measurement solution, this measurement solution at Adjust, but you've also been watching it since day one. And it's great to have you both, because we're going to talk about CTV. What is it? How to embrace it? What it isn't? And because everyone is more than a title, indeed, Arthur, you above, because when I was reading this, I was blown away, because here you are, 14 years old when you built your first website, sold it a year later, so you are a serial entrepreneur. And what was also interesting, you come back a year later, I believe, with the largest Twitter spam network when you were 15, 400K tweets a day. Yep. What is that about, Arthur?
Justin Bieber. Like, literally, I was posting like 400 like K tweets a day about Justin Bieber, because like I would get people to react about him. Like, I think at that time it was like 10% of the tweets or something like that was about him. And I kind of ride that way.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I got a cease and desist letter, from Twitter. So I stopped.
But you figured it out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
Hi, Spirit. I've been chatting with you also a bit at the pool. I was surprised. It was a little bit like being Elvis, because everyone's like, oh, hi, Spirit. I've been waiting to see you and we need to talk. But you have another side of you, and I had to Google because I didn't know what it was. You are a massive fan of Eskrima.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's hand-to-hand combat. That's the real deal.
I love practicing it.
Okay.
I really enjoy it's a fantastic workout, and I like the history that comes with it, but I'm still at a beginner stage.
And of course, we are in the groove, so I need to ask you, you know, what do you do when you're not, for example, in your sport or talking about CTV, and you, of course, at your company, what do you do when you're in the groove, to get in the groove? I'll start with you, Heisbert.
Spend time with my family. I mean,
that
I have
grand.
A lovely 6-year-old son and I have a lovely wife. And it was great, because actually before coming to Vegas, we were camping. So it was quite the contrast. I rode home on my back from the campsite and jumped on a plane and went to Vegas. That was,
that's a great answer. Quality time is good time. How about you, Arthur?
Probably a year ago, I would have told you, like, play a lot of competitive games, like lots of Counter-Strike. But then got a kid, so a year ago. So yeah, now like spending also time, like, yeah, she got my patient out of Counter-Strike and now it's on her. But really important time to resource and spend time with family.
First of all, I've asked you about yourselves, but we also have to talk about your companies. Arthur, a little bit about Vibe, because I was reading it, close to 1,000 clients, growing massively fast. And the vision of how to grasp this opportunity with both hands, you had it early.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think everyone jumping in CTV right now is early, and the market is early in general. But Vibe is basically, in a few words, the Google Ads of TV, and we want to empower any brand, any marketer of any size, to be able to advertise on TV, which was not really possible before. And CTV kind of opens up that opportunity. So really going after from really small SMBs, mom and pop shops, local businesses, up to, like, of course, we're at MAU, so big gaming advertisers. Yeah. So really focused on performance, driving performance through TV. And that's why, like, measurement was so important for us as well, of course.
Heisbert, same thing. I mean, Adjust is an MMP. We know that, but you're an innovator in CTV. Tell me a little bit about what that means in real terms.
Connected TV includes smart TVs, but also dongles and set-top boxes, and basically any device that allows as you do consume television content via the internet. The exciting thing about connected TV is that unlike the phones or unlike the desktop devices, it comes with a lot more legacy. So there is an interesting dynamic going on between players such as, you know, media companies, traditional media companies such as NBC Universal, but also Google is a mighty player in this space.
I wanted to say that with YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that makes it up for a fascinating space that opens up opportunities.
While we're going through all the acronyms and what we need to get straight here, FAST, what is that? That's not just rapid.
No, FAST stands for fully ad-driven streaming. Basically, it's a move away from what we know from Netflix, where you have a subscription and you pay for the content with your subscription. And in FAST, you pay for the content by watching ads.
Yeah, and FAST usually also comes with some more like linear like programs. Like you have on demand, like on most of those platforms, that usually you have like some kind of live programs that you can navigate.
Sports
definitely. Yeah. Exactly.
So we've done our homework. We're ready to roll. We know what it is. The marketers, I think, they also know what it is. And one of them is just thinking about the idea that CTV, like TV, is branding. It's top of the funnel. It's what we do. It's a big screen. We watch it. We don't recall it. Nothing happens. It's just top of the funnel. And that it's not, as we're discussing it, a performance play.
Yeah, to me, TV has always been a performance, like, ad channel in some ways. Because, like, if advertisers spend billion on that, probably, like, works, like, some ways. It's just that it was identified and, like, really linked to branding because linear TV sucked at measurement, basically. And now, like, this is changing because thanks to, what Iceberg did, like, on the work that he did, like, now, like, we can measure exactly, like, very precisely when an install is generated, like, where the ad was displayed and all these kind of things. So, like, now TV has no reason to be just a branding channel. And that's probably, like, one of the main, like, pushback that we're having when we go to clients. They tell us, like, no, sorry, like, we really like the product, but we only do performance. And we're like, well, like, we do performance. And so it's a lot of education around that. But like that branding misconception is really linked to, I can't measure and I can't optimize and I can't do what I do on like other ad platforms. Whereas like now it's not true anymore.
Okay, so someone comes to you and says, oh, it's just branding. What do you say to them?
Well, I would go back to this point about digitalization. Mm-hmm. Digitalization brings about data. Data brings about the possibility to target and to measure. And that's something you can do with television now because it has become connected.
Yeah.
So that's it. But I mean, branding is not a bad thing. It's now just becoming more accountable and more measurable. And what I'm having a lot of conversations about is, you know, how can we think about performance in a more full funnel way, right? Because
and measuring the impact of brand.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not saying that connected TV always does that, but you know, ideally it brings about the best of both worlds. So the quality of television advertising, in a sense that you have a big screen, that you have audio, that you have a much higher ad tolerance. People are used to seeing ads on TV. And TV is a leisure device. So people are relaxed, you know.
Just like bouncing on what you said, like one thing that TV is like really unique is that it creates an asset. Like it builds trustworthiness with like the viewers and this kind of thing, which you'll never get like advertising on social or like search. Like you don't remember a brand for that. You don't like have this relationship. Like TV has a thing where like people see TV and they are like, oh wow, like it's a real company. It's a real thing. And like a marketer as of today who advertises on TV not only generate like direct performance, but also creates an asset for his product or his brand, which is like big.
You know, to your point, I was doing some research into attention metrics, and it is the point. It is the case that TV has our attention. And that gets us maybe to another one of the myths is about targeting, reach and targeting. You know, the whole idea is that it's okay, but you wouldn't necessarily want to bet the farm on it. I'd like to hear your thoughts, Heisberg.
I mean, I think the difficulty is somewhere else, in a sense that the inventory landscape is pretty fragmented. And that makes the targeting much more complex, because you never know exact, or it's difficult to get a holistic view of what audiences you are reaching if you are you know, working with a lot of partners. That's why I always consult people who start with connected TV and say, well, go to intermediaries such as Vibe, or well, there are others, The Trade Desk, TV Scientific, that have this holistic perspective and can target audiences across the board. So there are solutions there.
You make the point of not having too many partners as well. I thought that was an interesting one.
Well, particularly in the beginning, you know, when you're testing things, because then you get a much better view of a much better idea of, okay, what's working, what's working in what region. And then if you want, you could try, because media companies are investing a lot in building up their own ads. Technology as well.
Targeting is, I mean, whereas like TV is connected now, it's far away from like what we get like on like desktop and mobile. Definitely, you can pretty much forget about like micro targeting because, it's hard to match like that data. And
I mean, it's not possible on mobile now either. So
it's getting. Come on. Don't know if it's not possible, but definitely getting harder.
It's harder. It's tougher than it ever was. It's tough.
Yeah, we like at Vibe, we've spent like a lot of time like testing data partners. I won't cite, but there's a lot of bad things out there, and very bad partners, like where you don't see any uplift in terms of performance. But but there's also some really good things, and what you see is usually that like the ones who sell you like some like micro targeting like are really bad, and like the ones who are more honest about it and say, okay, like we can't tell you exactly who's buying a Toyota Corolla right now, but I can tell you pretty much like who's like on the market for a car, like that makes a lot more sense and usually works much better. The only micro targeting that works on CTV is local targeting. It's not that simple, but local targeting works well because like you have IPs, like it's like a bit different. If you like, if you want to go into CTV and really leverage data, really spend time into like doing the due diligence, or work with Vibe, of course, because we spend a lot of money doing that, and we're more than happy like sharing, the results that we got. But yeah, I think like it's not as magical, as like what's being sold, basically. Okay. So
maybe one more point about targeting. If you come from a mobile background, so to say, if you've been doing UA mobile or in desktop for that part, there's a fundamental difference in a sense that with TVs, you're targeting households instead of individual users. That's an important thing to keep in mind.
One thing that really works like wonderfully as well in terms of targeting is retargeting on TV. Performances on that, like it's kind of a low hanging fruit. If I was a marketer as of today, even like with a small budget and like who's retargeting, you don't match like that many people, usually like 20% or something like that on TV. But like that's a low hanging fruit, super simple to activate. I definitely like at least use that, because like the results are just like, it's easy. Like people come to your website, your app, like they are kind of hesitating, they see you on TV, like it's a done deal. Like,
and for them it's part of the same experience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean, it's there the appeal of television advertising comes in, you know. If people already have an app installed on their mobile phone, what better medium can you think of to re-engage them in you know, with news stories, with updates, with basically anything that can get people excited again about your product. So it definitely works. Yeah, I think retargeting there, we're going to see a big investment in the next couple of months.
It's interesting because you bring that up, and I was just thinking that that's what happened with Temu. It went and did a lot of app advertising, and then when it had the Super Bowl ad, well, that just reinforced everything. So to your point, it becomes the same experience. Let's move on with some myths. CTV on its own has no, we were just talking about actually, the myth is it has no knock-on effect whatsoever on social, on search, on anything else. So when you're doing that, you're doing it in isolation. High Spirit, I know you have an edgy answer to this one. This is your favorite. This is your platform.
This is my gospel service.
This is your gospel. Okay,
no,
we're ready.
I mean, that's just simply not true. You need a full funnel mindset when you do CTV advertising, particularly if you're promoting a mobile app. I've noticed that it takes a while for people to get that. It took me a while to get that and adjust as a company to build, so to say, not only the measurement tools around it, but also the visualization tool, data visualization tools around it to get that great. But what we are seeing is that when you have a solid CTV campaign that's working well, it drives people to social, it drives people to search, but you need to have the data and the visualizations to see that. So, but we've seen many cases where people started a CTV campaign and yes, they saw some users coming directly off of these CTV campaigns, but it's never that impressive. Mm-hmm. But where you saw the real impact was that social went up, and particularly search went up. And it's, I mean, you know, getting that from a data point of view is pretty complex. But if you think about it, it's not rocket science. What happens if people see an ad for an application they find interesting? What they do is they grab their mobile phone. That's what you want.
Yeah, you know? And look for it.
And then they look for it.
Yes.
Which means they end up, you know, on search and they end up on social.
They don't scan QR codes?
Yeah. Well, let's get
to that. We're getting to that one.
No, but yeah, definitely. Like when it comes to that, like what's a really bad thing for CTV, but I think for the whole like market in general is like that we live in the last click like attribution world, which, well, is good for, of course, some platforms, but in general is really stupid and like doesn't really allow you to really understand like the impact of your, of your investment. And if you think about CTV, like I would strongly advise having like some kind of MMM or like incrementality solution in place to be able to measure that. Because of course, like you're gonna get like direct results, but as you said, like search will go up. Your social performances will probably also be improved thanks to that, especially if you invest massively on that. So definitely have something that allows you to like get the sense and to see it like directly. So yeah.
I'll stay with you there because the whole idea is one of the myths is it skews what marketers can see. They can't plan, they can't model, they're not seeing the real thing, the real results. And you made the point, what you need to do is have a solution in place and then you can see that and measure that, although incrementality is always a tough one.
Yep.
Incrementality is a tough one, but let me give you an example of how I explain it to the Adjust clients. Say you, in April, you have 100 installs. That's just random numbers. Mm-hmm. You have 100 installs for Google. And then in May, you start a CTV campaign. And you see that 50 installs attributed to Google are assisted by your CTV campaign, which means people saw an ad on CTV and then went to Google and converted via Google. The question is then, are you still with 100 Google installs attributed to Google, or are you with 150? If you're with 150, then you know it's incremental. If you're still with 100, then well, I wouldn't say it's wasted, because you can always look at the LTV, you know, the lifetime value. If you and then you can try to figure out if, you know, having CTV assisting Google in this case has a positive effect on the money people spend in your app.
You know,
the retention, et cetera, et cetera. So don't jump to conclusions, but it is, you know, it is possible to see that value.
Yeah, it's reinforced.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Like at the beginning of, I remember, like, we are our third or fourth client in the UA space. We launched a campaign, quite sizable budget. And after 2 weeks, we got, you know, get into the results. They were terrible, like terrible, like really, really bad. And so we could not figure out like why, because like the creative had the best practices. Like, I mean, there was no reason it could be like that bad. And we keep digging. Vibe was generating close to no installs. And we keep digging, and their search campaign went like crazy. Yeah. And basically they were bidding on their search term. And so it was being attributed to Apple, and then like, so
there you go.
I remember that early days, it's 2 years ago or something, but I got slightly panicky emails from you, because we're doing, now we have a dashboard about this, so we can then we did custom analysis of these assist value, and we're doing this sort of, we need another assist analysis from you, and it's so we had a lot of fun.
Final one is about the creativity itself, because people are like, well, it's mobile, it's on another screen, don't knock yourself out here, don't worry about it. But no, there has to be something in the creative, first of all, for a call to action.
What, shall we talk about
QR
codes?
Let's get to that one, because that is the biggie.
Okay, well.
And learn to love them.
Learn to love them, yeah. So from what I've seen so far, I've come to a very interesting conclusion. You should put a QR code in your CTV ad if you're promoting a mobile app.
Okay.
But don't expect audiences to actually scan the QR code.
All right.
We have seen some campaigns where that happened, but then scanning was incentivized. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you give people motivation to, you know, grab their mobile phone and scan. However, it still makes sense to put a QR code there, because we've seen the creatives that perform best on CTV are the ones with QR codes.
Okay.
We think that that is because when people see the QR code, they make the association with the mobile app. So they think, if I want this, I need to go to my mobile phone. So bottom line is, unless you incentivize, don't expect people to scan your QR codes. Nevertheless, put them in, because you'll get a better performance, because we think that, you know, this the ad recall is just strong.
It's also interesting to get a pulse. Like, if you have multiple creatives running, like, it's also interesting because it will give you some kind of real-time like feedback as to like what's being scanned the most. And even it's like half a percent of people, but versus like 0.20, like, still you get a pulse that this one is performing more. So definitely embed them. It's also a way to kind of like make it a kind of a call to action. Even if like they don't have time, they'll like search for it.
The QR code, to your point, has to be incentivized. So I have to ask you, what is an incentivized pitch that works? Is it just like, hey, you know, get 10% off, scan the code? Has to be something a little bit more imaginative than that, or just the discounts?
Be as direct as possible. Like,
direct.
Really.
Okay.
Promo,
don't hit.
If you're promoting game, like free skins or anything, but absolutely, like, as direct and aggressive as possible. And I think like that's really the best practice I would give to anyone. Like even if you're not like a like mobile marketer or anything like that, like don't care too much about the quality, because like that's a very European thing. Like people think that because in Europe, like TV ads are always like very qualitative. I mean, in the US, like
it's wrong.
Like look at the TV; it's really not that like good. And yeah, be goddamn aggressive. Like we have some clients, like you would like some marketing teams will spend like so much budget and like so much brain like on working on a creative, and then we have a client like he owns a furniture store, like I think it's in Wisconsin, and he has like those promos like almost every weekend, and so every week he has a new creative. It's just him in the middle of his furniture shop and saying like, hey, come by the shop this weekend, we have 20% off. I'm like, that's it, like that's it. And fun. That and he's killing it, like he's killing it. So like it's also like great like opportunity for, I know UGC is like something that's really looked into, like have like clients, people like just filming themselves like very naturally. Like some clients like run also like vertical as that work. Don't think too much and like just blast as many creatives. Like it's digital now, like so just like as you would do on Facebook and social, like just like try some stuff. Don't spend too much time. Find your like hit creatives and then scale it.
Okay.
Yeah. I would recommend though to capitalize on those specific qualities of television. So the fact that you have a bigger screen, the fact that you have audio.
Sound. It's so overlooked.
Sound is
like,
one, huh?
Okay, every digital marketer, like every digital marketer overlooks that so much because they're used to buying like sound off by default. So they won't spend much time. Like it's really 50% of your performance is on sound. Like really, like just like having someone, like you have like your like app creative that will have like download on the app store, blah, blah, blah. Have a voiceover seeing it.
Yeah.
Like there's really a big, big uplift. Just a voiceover saying like, don't look blah, blah, blah on the app store. Like just that, boosting performance. Hmm. Absolutely.
Gets me to wrapping up with the good, the bad, the ugly of creatives. Okay. You've shared a little bit of what you've seen. Maybe you can walk me through one example, each of you, good, bad, ugly. We'll start with you, High Spirit. Do you know of an example of something that's really awesome? Sucks or just looks crap, but maybe still works. Who knows?
So I'm with Arthur when he says that ugly advertising is not necessarily bad advertising.
Okay.
You know?
So it's good to be ugly.
Well, there's no shame in it.
Still being different, stand out of the crowd. Yeah. Like, it's a way of doing it.
How about you, Arthur?
Okay, I have a few examples. My favorite like ad that we've seen on the platform is actually from a plumbing company. Like they're called Nix Plumbing. I don't remember where they're based. But it's fun that they were so creative and so fun. Like it's like being funny in your creative, like and in your marketing in general, I think. But in your marketing is awesome. And it's like they install like HVACs, like it was really one for HVACs. And it was just like some kind of hot girl saying like, I'm hot. And then like a hot guy saying, I'm hot. And then it turns to like, if you are hot, call Nix Plumbing. Awesome, awesome ad, like absolutely awesome ad. And they had like some like others, like so good. So that's definitely the good. The bad is overseeing like the best practices. Like have your call to action, always have the name of your product or the like website or anything like that always visible, because if you just put that at the end, like it's going to be like 3 seconds and people will might like just forget it. If they see it like for 15 or 30 seconds, well, that's like much more effective, like overseeing sound, like that's the bad and that's the like common bad. Like that's the thing where I would say, I'd like to say 50, but it's probably like 70% of our clients like make mistakes, and we always tell them like, you know, you should do that or do that.
And hey, this is the sign.
We have had a
great time learning, understanding CTV. Everyone's enjoyed it, even our crew here. And you must have done a great job because it's party. I want to say high five.
High five.
5 o'clock. It is 5 o'clock.
It is 5 o'clock. Let's do it. Yeah.